As I said, you are listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, 3 o'clock and time for Arts Live and Local. This is Carol, your host. And Arts Live and Local is brought to you in part by Columbia River Coffee Roaster, wholesaling fresh roasted coffees since 1992 at 279 West Marine Drive, the old Finnish meat market, with Three Cups Coffee House up front, espresso, coffee, homemade baked goods, Wi-Fi, and gifts open every day. And Arts Live and Local is brought to you in part by Imogen Gallery on 11th Street in downtown Astoria, featuring, well, opening with a new show coming up tomorrow night during Art Walk. And I happened to be walking by and saw the show is looking quite wonderful. And I will get you the information almost immediately. Stay tuned, folks. Thanks so much for being here. Today is November 8th. Tomorrow is November 9th, which is known to many as Kristallnacht. Stay tuned to your community radio station.
Katya at the factory. She always did her job okay as far as I could see. Lunchtime one day she got nostalgic for her youth, growing up in wartime under a different truth. She told me when I was a girl I loved the soldier in the SS. They only pick the strongest ones, the healthiest, the best. They weren't monsters, they were like your green berets. We never wanted to kill Jews, we just wanted them away. And you know we gave them lots of time until Kristallnacht sealed their fate. We only wanted them to emigrate. We'll give each Californian a plastic picture card. If you don't have your papers, kid, well, life is hard. The pass laws have arrived here in America at last. You used to get a meal in school, but that's the past. Just take your chances in the streets, but do it out of sight. We know you'll get along until your crystal night. Your teacher has to turn you in, she doesn't really hate. We only wanted you to emigrate. Kristallnacht is coming, little Mexican child. Night of breaking glass, the night of running wild. Run sickin' in the streets until Kristallnacht seals your fate. We only wanted you to emigrate.
Well, if some of this is resonating with you, let's all be aware that this is going on right now in our country. And let's make sure to speak up. And all the galleries all over town will be sharing new art. And I'm lucky enough to have one of the new artists. I don't think he thinks of himself as, well, yeah, sort of a new artist, right?
Yeah.
My guest is Ed Peterson. And Ed is a, considering proportionally, Ed would be considered a new artist, right?
Yes.
You've only been making art for what, 10, 15 years?
8 years.
Eight. So that's less than a tenth of your life.
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay, folks, I think you can figure this out, where we're going with this. Ed has been on the show before. I love his work. His new work is different, and yet the colors are as vibrant and exciting as ever, and the images are quite wonderful. So congratulations on the new show.
Thank you.
Yeah. And this is at Tempo Gallery, which is on Commercial, and it is the same building as it's the home of the Astoria Music Festival as well. Hence the name Tempo. It's a community gallery with, I think, 5 or 6 different artists sharing their work. Ed, the new show is called, I think, is this right, Artful Expressions of Thanks?
Yes.
Where'd that come from?
Well, it's Thanksgiving month, and I think an important thing for us to realize nowadays is how thankful each and every one of us really are. And if we look at it positively rather than negatively, we're all extremely blessed. And mm-hmm. I am so honored and blessed to be a little part of the Astoria scene and admire the people that live here and I'm extremely thankful for them. My so-called career has started here. And each and every person that comes in and talks to me and has purchased things has really sparked that journey for me. So I'm thrilled to death.
Well, for those people who haven't met you before, met either through your art or on the radio or in person, can we just recap a little bit? You came here in, what year was that? Ish?
Probably 2012, I would guess.
You moved here to this area.
Well, I moved to the area in 2007.
Oh, okay. And then you lost your wife, which
was wife in 2010, and mm-hmm. we'd been married for 52 years, yeah. And so it was like anybody else. I was totally lost, and then went to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and met relatively famous people, and they took me under their wing, and I got excited about that, and I came home and started painting. And from there on, it's been a magical journey.
And did you ever dream that painting was in you?
No. No, I didn't. It's horrible to say, but I've learned more in my 80s than I did in most of my life, I think. The people who worry about age, the 80s have been fantastic years for me. I've learned to accept who I am and be proud of that. And that expression, live within your own skin. Art has taught me not to compare things, but to make sure I'm doing my very best. And that's all I can expect. And it's been extremely beneficial for me.
Well, fortunately for the rest of us, your best is pretty darn good. So I understand that you said you went to Jackson Hole and that's where you got inspired. Were you just back there again?
I was there again. I'm extremely thankful. Can you imagine? I was a featured guest at Gallery Wild, and it was one of 30 galleries on the opening night for the Fall Art Festival. And we had, the owner said, up to 200-300 people in the gallery at one time.
Oh, my gosh.
And they ran a newspaper article prior to my being there.
Mm-hmm.
So I had people standing in line to meet me.
Oh, wow.
And talk to me and
wow.
take their picture with me. Yes. It was an unbelievable dream for me.
This is a full circle here. Can you imagine 200-300 people in Tempo Gallery?
No.
They'd have to be stacked on top of one another, right? Because it's a long, narrow gallery. But did you create new art for Jackson?
Specifically for there.
It was. Okay.
It was all wildlife.
Okay. Although that, in my recollection or in my impressions of you, that's... what I associate, the large
bison.
Right. And wow, that's amazing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And when I say that, I want you and the listeners to understand, I'm very humble. I'm not saying anything bragging. It's just an unreal situation for... And it should be an inspiration to people that are my age. I was excited to get out of bed in the morning to start painting. I'd start painting at 7 in the morning, and there were nights that I painted up till 10 o'clock.
Wow. And you look terrific.
Well, thank you.
but you came back to us.
Yes.
And you're going to stay here.
Oh, yes.
Oh, good.
Always.
Oh, good.
Astoria will always be a part of me.
That's wonderful. So tell us about the new exhibit at Tempo Gallery that's opening tomorrow night. That is during Art Walk.
Well, the gallery is has a pronghorn, and I paint wildlife in color. So I'm trying to portray the animals with personality. And we stop... I think it's the same with the ship paintings that I do. I want to portray the feelings of the crew or the animal. Each one of those things is so exciting and interesting, and they all have their due, and we kind of neglect that too. Coming in and looking at the ships in the harbor, it's easy to think, oh, they're just red oxide, red and black. But, you know, then you stop and look on it, and there are human beings on there with feelings and families and interests. And so that's what I'm trying to portray. And it's the same thing with animals. They each have their own personality. And the people in the artists in Jackson... You know, some of them paint the same animal year after year. They know the names of the animal, and they track them, and it was a level of people that's unreal. The night that I was featured, there are 30 galleries that were featured in that night. So, and each gallery had its own restaurant that it was paired up with. So
I'm amazed and so impressed and so delighted for you, because of the trajectory of your story, having been inspired there, coming here, doing all these incredible paintings. When we're talking large, I'm talking big. Ed's bison. You walk in there, it's huge. And I've actually seen one in someone's house, and it looked fantastic. I thought you'd need a large wall for this. But also, what I love are the way you use colors. And there's one of the paintings, I haven't seen this show yet, but I saw pictures from it, and there was some vertical. What is that?
It's just a... to me, it's an excitement of color. And I work color temperatures, warms and cools, and the various I like that conflict of color, like in music, the dissonant sounds, and then the relief that comes. I have two abstracts, and I think if people will take the time to look at them, the one that's called Carrie Lynn is, to me, is fascinating, but you need to look into the depth in the reach of color and the warmth in the various colors that you can see if you'll stand and look. But if you just pass it by quick, you'll miss it.
I don't know. I've never been able to pass by your paintings. They reach out and grab me. They're so,
I hope so.
Vivid. Now, you were involved in music.
Yes.
Can you give us in one sentence? I forgot. People don't know that. Because you've talked before about how the music informs your painting as well.
Yes. Music has that conflict of tensions and releases in the chordal structure, in the flow, the staccatos and the legatos, and all those things I think pop up in my paintings. And one of the paintings that I did that sold immediately in Jackson was entitled Beethoven, and I painted it to Beethoven's Fifth Piano Concerto, the Emperor Concerto, and with Glenn Gould playing piano. And it's a neat background of listening to that music and then kind of applying it to what I'm doing with the brush.
So what was your job for most of your life before you became an
I was a
visual...
high school band director.
Thank you. Yeah. There you go, folks. The arts. This is the epitome of the arts. Come and see Ed. And as you can tell from listening to him, he will be delighted to talk to you. Am I right?
Yeah.
Tomorrow
I would,
evening.
I would love it. And you can even be negative and I will enjoy it.
Thank you so much for coming in and congratulations on both shows. So exciting.
Thank you.
You're still painting, right?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. No surprise there. Okay.
Night
Ed
and day.
Peterson, in his mid to late 80s and painting up a storm, and you can see it at Tempo Gallery in Astoria on Commercial. And Peter Unander, speaking of music, is going to be playing keyboard, I presume, during Ed's exhibit, Artful Expressions of Thanks. Thank you, Ed.
Thank you.
Okay. And I have some little bit of music from something quite unusual. This was during the Water Music Festival, the Black Oak Ensemble came, and they played a whole host of different music. It's a string trio. And I bought their new album, Silenced Voices. And these compositions, classical music, these compositions, all were composed by victims and survivors of the Holocaust. This one is by Hans Krascha and Tanitz. And he is well known for his children's opera, Brundabar, which I've seen numerous times in various places. Stay tuned. KMUNS Storia, KTCB, Tillamook. We've been listening to Passacaglia and Fuga for String Trio from Hans Krause, 1899 to 1944. Thanks to Jane Hill for airing several pieces from this extraordinary album this morning in commemoration of Kristallnacht, which is tomorrow. If you don't know what that is, perhaps you heard Bob Franke talk about it, but if you missed it and you don't know what it is, please check it out. It's an important event, not just because it's history and tragic, but because we've got stuff going on in this country and in this world today that we need to be paying attention to. But here on Arts, we are paying attention to the arts, and my guest is Ron Walker. Hi, Ron.
Hi, Carol.
And Ron has been here before also, and he is many things, wears many hats. I haven't actually heard him playing music recently, but are you still playing music?
Not really performing in public.
Okay.
But a lot by myself.
Okay.
Yes,
okay. And you play keyboard and flute, isn't it?
Flute and guitar now.
And mm-hmm. guitar. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, but what Ron's new life is as a filmmaker. Of course, it's not new. He's been doing this for a long time, but the last few years, he's been making documentaries of local Astoria artists and scenes and showing them. And tomorrow he will be showing his film at the Seaside Library at 1 o'clock in the community room. And it's called North Coast Musicians. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
And who did you feature in this?
I've got seven musicians featured in this film.
Oh, I didn't realize. Okay.
This is actually volume two. I did musicians of the in the local area last year, but it doesn't seem like I'm running out of musicians. There are so many great musicians in this area that it's like I could make dozens of films about
them. Okay.
And probably over time, maybe I will. But the musicians in this film are, just to give you an idea, the first person that you'll see in the film, the name of that portion of the film, I call Young Prodigy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about a young 12-year-old girl. Her name is Minta.
Mm-hmm.
I first met her when I was sitting in this very seat, and she was sitting next to me, and we were both being interviewed by you on Arts and Entertainment.
Arts Live and Local, right?
Sorry. And I had my camera with me, and so I filmed her during that radio broadcast. Then minutes later, after we went out in the lobby, I also filmed her for another, 15, 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That ended up being the first part of this film you'll see tomorrow in Seaside.
And this was not premeditated.
All of my films are that way.
Oh, okay. Well, I know. I just saw it again happening. It was a little premeditated on my part, but not on yours. I love that. I love that, people coming together, and from that energy, the spark happens. So, and interestingly enough, this same 12-year-old, who may be 13 by now, is going to be on the air next week, probably.
Oh, great.
With Three Leg Torso. And I think I read that you also featured Horsenecks one too?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Great. Well, that's why you keep getting new people. One is a 12-year-old. She wasn't around, that many years ago.
Correct.
And then the Horsenecks are relatively new in this area as well.
Right.
So.
Yeah, a duo, Gabriel McRae and Barry Southern.
Mm-hmm.
And I filmed them this last summer at, Astoria Public Library had a summer series outside.
Oh, yeah.
And so I filmed them during that and got some great footage. And then I filmed them at a contra dance at the Odd Fellows building that
mm-hmm.
Dave Ambrose organizes. So you get to see them both in both settings.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to see some of the dancing. You get to see Dave doing calling, and you hear Dave talk about what contra dancing is and where it's from. And so it's the film actually is covers a lot of territory. I might mention one of the musicians, the second portion of the film is of a street musician. we were strangers. I happened to be walking on the prom in Seaside. He was playing. And I, like so many people, I just, you know, go up and ask him if I could videotape him. And he said, yes. His name is Bob Goldstick. And I got footage of him that day. And, you know, it has a very live quality to it.
Yeah.
You see people going by and
nice.
Everything. This
nice.
Was at Christmas time. So he was playing Christmas music on a melodica. And the melodica is sort of an accordion type instrument that you blow into with your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a very, you know, a fascinating little story about a man who actually is quite talented. You would think of him as a street musician, but Bob Goldstick performed in piano bars for 30, 40 years down in L.A.
Wow.
You know, and he told me stories about playing for celebrities down
right,
there.
Right.
And then the third portion of Celtic Pilgrimage features a local man named John Doane, and some people might know John Doane.
Yeah.
And he does shows. He did one last Christmas called Christmas Unplugged, but the one that I feature in this film is called Celtic Pilgrimage, where he went to Ireland, and he went to a lot of the sacred places that people, Irish people go
mm-hmm.
to.
Mm-hmm.
And he just sat down with his guitar and did musical impressions of these sacred places
mm-hmm.
and came back and recorded it. And now it became the best Celtic album of the year.
Oh my gosh. So wait, now John Doane doesn't live here though, right?
No, John has moved.
Yeah, I don't know that he ever lived here.
No, well, he never lived on the
here.
Coast, but he lived close by. He lived in the Willamette Valley.
Right, uh-huh. right, because he used to come regularly and perform here in Astoria. So
you know John, too, then.
I know his music. I've uh-huh. seen him, but I don't have an intimate relationship with him, and he's never been on the air. So you couldn't have filmed him here in this room.
True.
I think you'll have to come in every Friday and do some filming, Ron.
Well, you know, Carol, I might, you know, this is kind of an impromptu thing. Everything I do is impromptu. I just filmed Ed while
Peterson,
he was here thinking about making a film about Ed. But now I will throw out the proposal. you know what's coming up, Carol?
Yes, I do.
I've never
sounds
talked
like
to you about this.
No, but it sounds like a collaboration.
I would love to do a little documentary on you, Carol.
Oh, me? Oh, yeah. We'll talk about
later.
That's a whole nother thing. No, but my next guests might interest you, too. Ron, just for people who don't know you, and I've known you for a long time, mm-hmm. And that's why I know the different hats you wear, but what is your background in the arts? Are you professionally? Did you study music or filmmaking, or what's the story?
Yeah, you know, I graduated from college with a degree in music.
Mm-hmm.
I started playing flute in the fourth grade. I ended up playing in rock bands and
of course.
In the 60s and 70s. I ended up making a career out of it, playing Hammond B3 organ in nightclubs. Back then, it was in Portland, and it was six nights a week.
Mm.
We were the house band for the Turquoise Room, for the, you know, Stone Balloon, a lot of these places where, you know, musicians unfortunately can't get gigs like that anymore. But I was lucky back then in the 60s and 70s, a club would hire a band and just keep them for years.
Wow.
You know, six nights a week. I was so lucky.
Wow. All right. And then, now you're going around filming other people who are doing one night a week, if they're lucky. Yeah.
Exactly. No, it's all the same, though. It's people's love for music.
Mm-hmm.
people that play music, people that don't play music but listen to music.
So where did the filmmaking come in?
Yeah, well, when I was living in Portland, I ended up being contacted by the Film Loft. They were looking for a composer to compose music for their films. Mm-hmm. And I was lucky. I got hired by them as a resident composer, and I was with them for years. And I would hang around after hours. I would go on shoots. I ended up, you know, learning a lot about filmmaking by just being there watching, and especially the editing part of it. I would sit in with editing with George Hood and watch him edit, and you know, we talk about cutting here, the timing, what kind of music, all that kind of stuff. And I find filmmaking every bit as fascinating and creatively enjoyable as making music.
Cool. Well, good for you and good for us, because as you said, we're getting more and more wonderful musicians, and here you are documenting it all, which is terrific.
Somebody's got to do it, Carol.
Hey, I'm glad you're the one, Ron. Ron Walker is my guest. You can catch Ron tomorrow at 1 p.m. at the Seaside Library. And North Coast musicians, are you working on any? Do you keep on going? Well, I know you do. You were just in here filming, so yeah.
I'm always working, always collecting footage. My next project, you know, I went to the Open Studios last summer and interviewed three or four artists with incredible tales.
Yeah.
So that will probably be my next project.
Okay. And is there anywhere where people can go to find out what you're doing?
Yeah. You can go to Vimeo, V-I-M-E-O, Vimeo, / Ron Walker.
Oh, okay.
You know, see some of my work there.
Right, yeah. Good. And get in touch with you if they want to know.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, my profile's there, everything you wanted
and,
to know.
everything? I'm going right away. Thank you so much, Ron, and thanks for doing the films and for staying in touch.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay. Take care. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that is, again, tomorrow at 1 p.m. Folks, be careful. Tomorrow is a killer day. One of the best. Or you might feel the worst if you have trouble making decisions, as some of us do. It is packed. Right now, however, I have someone else in the studio who is going to talk to us about something else completely, well, not really completely different, because nothing is completely different in this world of ours. And this person you will know well. As a matter of fact, he was on the radio this morning, and his voice is quite familiar, and we are so happy because this is Graham Nystrom, who is the station manager of Coast Community Radio, KMUN, Astoria, KTCB, Tillamook, and all the rest of it. Graham, what is happening tomorrow evening? I am so excited. Well, among the plethora of activities.
Yeah, the station is fortunate to be a part of all of the amazing things going on tomorrow, and so as you make your decisions, here's one for you to consider. We, as a station, pride ourselves on our news coverage, both national and local. And we also try to have events where we bring in folks who are journalists to have speaking engagements, or in this case, we've got a documentary. And so Coast Community Radio presents a corporate coup d'etat, followed by a Q&A with one of the film's producers after the movie, Jeff Cohen. And so the screening is at the Liberty Theater, and it's at 7 p.m. The movie is about an hour and a half, and the Q&A, I don't know how long the Q&A is going to go. It depends on how many questions there are. Mm-hmm. And so it depends on how many of you listening come and take part in, you know, the art of political activism. Can we say that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Arts, live, and local.
Absolutely.
The art of political activism. Okay. And so, you know, the title kind of says it all, corporate coup d'etat. And so corporatism is getting stronger. Capitalism and democracy is weakening. And so that is the crux of the documentary. And so there are analysts featured in the film, including Chris Hedges, who we've heard mm-hmm. on alternative radio
often,
somewhat
yeah.
regularly, Dr. Cornel West.
Oh, great.
Sarah Jaffe.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Taibbi.
Oh, really?
Who's a fantastic journalist from the Rolling Stone.
Yep.
Maude Barlow and John Ralston Saul are also featured. And so it's the exploring the symptoms of this disease called corporatism. And so it's a, I think, you know, I don't know a whole lot about the film, but I think it's pretty powerful because there are interviews with people who are homeless or people who voted for Obama twice and Bernie in the primaries, but then flipped to Trump. And so we're just yeah. really trying to explore yeah. what's happening and why.
Do you have any bio notes on Jeff Cohen? I think, wasn't he one of the founders?
Jeff Cohen founded the media watch group FAIR yeah. in 1986. And that's so they bring us Counter Spin every Friday
right.
morning.
One of my favorite programs, that's Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, not to be confused with an anti-immigrant group of the same name, FAIR.
I'm glad you pointed that
yeah.
out.
Yeah, Jeff Cohen is a hero. And I'm so excited he's going to be here in person.
So he's a bit of a celebrity.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't have a relationship with him, like I am fortunate to now say that we do with David Barsamyan.
Right.
But this may turn into a thing where he wants to come through town every so often yeah. and explore some of these ideas with the community. And I know that there's a lot of activism at mm-hmm. the local level. And so I am, like I said, proud that the station can do this and can bring Jeff into town yeah. and promote the screening of this. You know, I think that's going to be a really important film. And I know how much people care about politics at the local and national level. And so I really do hope that we'll have a good turnout for
yeah.
Jeff and we'll show him that this part of the world cares
right.
and is ready to take action,
right.
positive action.
And he and converse with him in conversation with Jeff Cohen about his many years of doing this and what we can do here to enhance. I'm thrilled that the station has taken this on.
So a little more about Jeff. He co-founded the online activist group RootsAction.org in 2011. He's author of Cable News Confidential, My Misadventures in Corporate Media. He's been a TV commentator at CNN, Fox News, and MSNBC.
Wow.
And was a senior producer of MSNBC's Phil Donahue primetime show until it was terminated weeks before the Iraq invasion. And he's co-produced several documentaries, including All Governments Lie and The Brainwashing of My Dad. And something that he and his booking agent sent along that I think is really neat are a list of recommended independent non-corporate news sources.
Oh, great.
And so it's not a very long list, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But can I give you a few?
Well,
we're
you
running
know,
out of time.
We're out of time, but what I would
well,
like
Well, then come to the documentary.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And hopefully, if we get the support, we'll be able to do more of this kind of thing. This is very, very exciting. Thank you, Graham, for doing this and for coming in here and telling folks about it. This is tomorrow evening, Saturday evening, 7 p.m. at the Liberty Theater. That's 12th and Commercial. Come a little bit early so you can get in there and get a seat and be prepared, folks. This is going to be powerful stuff and wonderful for our community. Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity to promote it.
Okay. And I have one more set of guests that are going to be delightful. Before that, I want to give a big congratulations to our good friends, Luke and Katie, the Hackles. Yeehaw, folks. Have a listen. Brand new album.
Remember that storm through your window? I could have been a dreamer, moved by a hand unknown. Where is ground? Where did it grow? Just weeks to know. Just is not a bad bone in you now. I laid them on your table, I took a final bow. You put me out, but I'm still around. Quiet as the ashes on some desert ground, I'm still around, I'm still around.
Once again, a huge Mazel Tov congratulations to the Hackles. A beautiful brand new album, Holy Moly, 2019. Our beloved Luke Yitzde and Katie Claiborne. Katie, who is a programmer here. She was on yesterday. She does a terrific job. And of course, they are part of Blind Pilot. And I think that's what brought them together, maybe even lucky us. Well, my last guest is here, and that would be Allison Dennis. And Allison is for sure a KMUN virgin. Welcome, Allison. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And have you been on radio before, though?
I have, yeah. But it's been a long time, okay. Not with Kirtan.
Oh, in yeah. One of your other lives.
In a different life with yes. A different genre of music.
A different genre of music, yeah. Because you're not just, not only a musician, you are also many other things. Mm. I went to your website and oh my God, I'm overwhelmed. I just was overwhelmed. I was starting to, I'll sign up for this, and this. And then I went, wait a minute, I don't even know who she is or where she lives or anything, but I'm going to find out. And the reason Allison is here, in addition to our good friends, Yahoo, who brought her to my attention, thank you, is that tomorrow evening, yes, yet another Saturday, November 9th, happening in addition to Art Walk, which is also then, is Allison is giving a kirtan concert at Yoga Gypsy Sally. That's, of course, Sally Anderson. That is tomorrow night, 6:30. That's at the foot of 31st Street. And the water, the little red building. And I'm sure it will be wonderful. But I told Allison, I suspect that a lot of people don't know what kirtan is and don't know what this instrument she has is. It surprised me because I have seen harmoniums before, but this is a Cadillac. This is a Stradivarius harmonium. So tell us, what's the story?
Well, just to speak to the harmonium first.
Yes.
So the harmonium is actually a French instrument that was brought over to India, and the Indians love instruments that vibrate and create vibratory sound. So when they heard the instrument, Indians are also quite adept at adopting things that work for their already established knowledge systems. So they brought the harmonium in, and it's become something of a standard instrument for Indian music, particularly kirtan. This instrument, my teacher, K. Sridhar, he was the youngest member of the Ravi Shankar Orchestra when he was 10 or 11 years old. And he plays the sarod, and now he's in his 70s, and he's a masterful teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And one of his schoolmates is a shop owner in Chennai, India. And so I got this instrument with my teacher there helping me choose which one to get. So it is a bit of a Cadillac and a lovely instrument. And what kirtan is it's devotional music. And I sing primarily in the language of Sanskrit, but sometimes I sing in other Indian languages as well. And it's intended to be uplifting and raise the vibration of consciousness, and also just, it feels really good. It feels good to sing in community. So the way that it works is I'll say a simple line mm-hmm. of Sanskrit, and then the audience will repeat that back. And what I've noticed over the years is sometimes people would rather just sit and listen and or lay down and relax. And so that's fine, too. You can come and enjoy it as a concert. You don't have to participate. But some people really enjoy the participation part of it.
Well, and that's what I've always thought of kirtan as, call and response.
Right.
And so I don't think of it as much as a concert, as more like when we have the chant for peace out at the Zen monastery.
Right.
There is always someone doing that. But
right.
As I say, I've never seen quite this. Well, maybe you could give us a taste of this so folks can.
Yeah, I'd love to.
I'm going
to
see how I send it out over the airwaves. Okay. I got my hands all over the board. We'll find out. Allison Dennis. Again, she'll be tomorrow evening at Yoga Gypsy Sally on 31st Street, 6:30. Do you have any sense of how long you'll be playing?
A couple of hours.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, a couple hours. And I'll probably do some mix of kirtan and storytelling. So I weave in the mythologies that are associated with the chants.
And that will be in English. I don't know how good your Sanskrit is, but I suspect
not that good.
Okay.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Namah Shivaya. Hari Om, Hari Om, Namah Shivaya. Namah Shivaya, Namah Shivaya. Namah Shivaya, Namah Shivaya. Hari Om, Hari Om, Namah Shivaya. Hari Om, Hari Om, Namah Shivaya. Namah Shivaya, Namah Shivaya. Namah Shivaya, Namah Shivaya. Hari Om, Hari Om, Namah Shivaya. Hari Om, Hari Om, Namah Shivaya. Namah Shivaya, Namah Shivaya. Namah Shivaya, Namah Shivaya.
Beautiful. I almost forgot where I was. I was about to lie down on the floor and just listen, but I guess not. I'm not off for another 8 minutes.
Just
so,
yeah.
So it is very mesmerizing.
Right?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a beautiful language.
Yeah.
The language itself is calming.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So did you come to, well, you said you have done other kinds of music.
Mm.
How did you come to this spiritual part and the Sanskrit and the instrument?
I was a singer-songwriter. I play the guitar as well. And
of course.
Obviously.
Silly question.
And I was living in New York City, and I injured my back in an off-Broadway show. And I went through this very early young transformation at 25 years old of, oh my gosh, I might not be able to use my body anymore. And I started voraciously reading things from India and Tibet and China, and something about the Indian knowledge systems really stuck and were really helping me to deal with physical pain and emotional pain. And then to make the story a little shorter, I eventually did a yoga teacher training, and the training that I did had an awful lot of Indian music in it, and I just gravitated very quickly. So I've been doing this for almost 20 years now, slowly, and with a lot of good teachers guiding me and helping me with the Sanskrit, but also with the musicality of it, so that it's as reverential to the Indian music as possible.
Where can people go who want to learn more about you?
I have a website. It's Allison, two L's, A-L-L-I-S-O-N, Dennis, D-E-N-N-I-S.com. And there's, as you said, it's somewhat overwhelming. There's a lot of different things on there. I've done a lot of, fair amount of curving around with things with India. But I'm on Spotify if you want to listen on Spotify, or if you like to purchase the albums, I'm on CD Baby.
Where do you live at, or do you?
Well, right now I'm just traveling around and talking to people like you and sharing kirtan where I can. And then I leave for India early December. I lead a tour through India of Indian temples and Indian astrology. And
I'm sure you don't try to cover the entire country.
Not at all. I only know Tamil Nadu, really. I only know the very south part of India.
Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. So, folks, Allison with two L's, Dennis with two N's, .com to check out, perhaps, I don't know what's available, but in terms of space, but you can be in touch with her. And meantime, she is here in Astoria at Yoga Gypsy Sally tomorrow evening, 6:30 on 31st Street, with her harmonium and her stories and her beautiful voice. Are you doing any other, I hate to call them shows even, because they're really beings in other places near here?
The next thing I've got isn't until Telluride, I think. So,
when's
which
that?
Is not close by. But that's December 1st.
Okay.
Is in Telluride. So I'll be here for a few days.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you hear that, Franks? Yeah. You might be able to, you know what I mean. Okay. Allison, this is great. I'm delighted.
Oh, thank you so much.
Do you want to give us another minute of playing?
About a minute.
That's about,
is that good?
Can you do that?
I'd love to.
And then, actually, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to hear your voice too. But then, if you'll just go into the harmonium, and I have all these things happening that I'd like to announce with you.
Oh, and
you.
I could keep playing. Ooh, oh, I'd love to.
Gorgeous. Okay.
Fantastic. Wonderful.
Sure.
Yamuna Tira Vihari Vrindavana Sanchari Govardhana Giridhari Gopala Krishna Murari Dasharata Nandana Ram Ram Dasamukham Mardana Ram Ram Pashupati Ranjana Ram Ram Papa Vimochana Ram Ram Manimaya Bhoshana Ram Ram Manjula Bhashana Ram Ram Ranajaya Bhishana Ram Ram Raghukula Bhoshana Ram Ram.
And with Allison Dennis's harmonium with her playing it in the background, let me tell you what else, why tomorrow is going to be challenging. First, I'll start with tonight. Tonight is a little easier. I can easily recommend Astoria High School's performance of Clue, and Times Theater in Seaside has the Junebugs. Charlie's Chop House has Forest Grove Outlaws. I also want to let you know, last night was the opening, but Michael Mather's photographs are at the college at Royal Nebuchadnezzar Gallery. Do not miss them. Magnificent. Tomorrow, so much happening. Art Walk, including the Astoria Warming Center from 6 to 9, is having an open house and art reception. And Chinook School from 4 to 7 has art and oysters. It's a benefit for the Chinook Nation. Hanthorne Cannery Museum is open 10 to 5, music, poetry, and exhibits. Cannon Beach Library, one of my faves, Craig Leslie from 2 to 3. The Hoffman at 7 o'clock, Ashley Flynn and the Riveters. Seaside Library, you heard from Ron Walker, fortunately, that's at 1 o'clock, so you can catch that and everything else. Kala at 8 o'clock in Astoria is featuring an evening of flamenco, and that will be magnificent. And Sunday, they will be at Pine Grove Community House at 7:30. Napton Cove, 1 to 4, November on the North Shore. That's Lewis and Clark with Hot Cider and History. Cannon Beach History Museum, 4 p.m. Tom Wilson on Lewis and Clark Expedition. Astor Street Opry Company has their ASOC Angel tomorrow evening, 6 p.m. It's their sixth annual big benefit. Southwester is featuring Dreckig and Mondegrin, and Yoga Gypsy Sally has my guest Allison Dennis with Kirtan. And of course, KMUN is sponsoring the extremely important film at the Liberty Theater with Jeff Cohen, that's Corporate Coup d'Etat. Sunday, Fort George has Scratch Dog String Band. They're terrific. Pioneer Presbyterian Church has a wonderful concert with Jude Matulich, who is...